Hey, all you jive hustlers, you stone foxes, you mean dudes. Watch out. The Godfather of Harlem is doing it again. There's only one stud who could rip off New York, ruin Rome, and stay alive to run a number in Africa.
Like stealing candy from a baby.
Super strong, supernatural, and
the baddest cat that ever walked the earth.
Damn, brother, you have become one violent dude.
I might not be the baddest man in the world, but I'm in the top two, and my father is getting old.
Pornography Podcast 5, presented by Sam Sugar. SugarBank.com production, brought to you with the support of WestBud.com.
His business is pleasure. He sells the soft stuff.
Rated R. It's nasty.
Hello, I'm Sam Sugar, and this is Podnography. Welcome to show number 5. Podnography is the show that deals with sex without being sexual. It's the show that talks about pornography without actually being pornographic. Whether that's brilliant or incredibly stupid, you'll have to decide for yourself, and I'm sure you will have by the end of this broadcast, or this podcast. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. In this week's podcast, I'm going to take a look at the highlights from the last week at Fleshbot. I'm going to review the Bert and Nina sex show, and I'm going to talk to Katie, a submissive student, and more notably, the first pornography interviewee who's prepared to have sex with anyone listening to this right now. Yes, it's true. I'm going to talk to someone who will have sex with you. Well, phone sex anyway. And she's lovely, and I think you're going to enjoy it. I'm also going to rant about whatever's on my mind, pimp a couple of my own projects, because I can, and generally just try and keep you entertained. So buckle up, or unbuckle, if you really, really like my voice. And thank you very much for those emails. It makes me feel good about myself. And enjoy this week's Podnography. Despite being based out of New Orleans, ravaged this week by meteorological skank Katrina, Fleshbot still managed to illuminate my week, and a few of yours, I'm sure, with its usual platter of punctual, purient, porn-packed posts. Here are a few of my favourites. In can what only be described as a punitive move to curb my unfocused lust, Fleshbot told us this week where to find images of Victoria Beckham, wearing shorts so short you can actually see her labia. Now, these pictures are pretty shocking, and they're interesting for three reasons. One, you'll see that Posh Spice, Victoria Beckham, is about as attractive as an underfed 12-year-old boy. Two, you'll realize that the average underfed 12-year-old boy actually has nicer tits than Posh Spice. Posh Spice. Actually, not Posh. Whatever I was saying, Spice. Three, you'll wonder why she didn't feel the breeze on that hairless deli selection and put some underpants on before leaving the house. If you really want to see where David Beckham scores most of his goals, check it out. Fleshbot also informed us this week of Summer Hayes' plans to stage the world's biggest all-female gangbang. I personally have my doubts about 350 women being enough to break any records, but I'm not prepared to put my personal life on display just so I can prove Summer Hayes wrong. Actually, the trend for gangbang movies, which, if you remember, started back with Annabelle Chong when she did, I don't know, 12 guys in a pizza place or something, confuses me. What is the point of mixing the mind-numbing boredom of watching an immobile porn star struggling to pretend she's enjoying her 50th penetration with the visual horror that is masses of non-worked-out, non-professional, naked, horny people ejaculating onto said woman? I guess that's why I never get an invite, and I guess that's why I'm not going to be watching the Summer Hayes 350-woman gangbang. However, millions of people will be, so maybe my expertise isn't worth much at all. Maxim magazine, who I actually worked for in a kinder, gentler time when things were just rosy and people sung and whistled on their way to work, has posted the finalists of its Hometown Hotties competition online this week. Fleshbot neatly circumnavigated the annoying Flesh bullshit, the advertising, and all the other crap that comes with big corporate websites to link us straight to the video. And I did say video. Video of these girls makes the website actually more interesting than the magazine in this case. There should actually be a button for doing what Fleshbot did. You know, decrap this website, just strip everything down to four links. I was trying to buy a pair of, like, Philippe Stark Puma trainers the other day, and I swear getting through the website was like passing a Mensa test, which obviously I've never done, but I imagine if you did, you'd kind of get to that hard level where all the Mensa stuff really kicked in. Anyway, what is it with Mensa? If they're so smart, why don't they go out and invent something, you know, a car that runs on water, time travel, rather than just have meetings sitting around saying how smart they are? And why are all the people who join Mensa and talk about it people who you know are dumb? And they kind of use Mensa as a way of saying, no, I'm not, I passed the test. Anyway, the women that Maxim found, which is what I'm supposed to be talking about, are generally gorgeous in that generic daytime TV sort of a way. I can imagine most of them saying stuff like, I watch reality TV shows because they teach you about people, and other 60-watt, poorly thought-out bullshit. That's okay, though, because I'd only ever let a woman like that give me an opinion if my penis was actually inside her at the time. Which is a great free relationship tip, by the way. Anyway, go and enjoy Maxim's hometown hotties. I'm sure they don't live anywhere near you, but you can pretend. The rest of us do. Fleshbot's most serious news this week concerned the second most punchable man in politics, Attorney General Gonzalez. This is someone who's known as a personal friend of George Bush, a likely Supreme Court nominee, and an indisputable fucktard. This halfwit, who thinks that torture is okay as long as you only do it to people who really scare you and might have been involved in something bad, is actually asking US law enforcement officials to focus their efforts on shutting down porn. Not child porn, not illegal movies of people being raped, just healthy, over-the-counter, jizz-on-my-eyelid-you-dirty-he-bitch smut. Given the more pressing concerns of terrorism, child exploitation, and, you know, actual crime, law enforcement agencies are rightly responding to the initiative with a unified, what the fuck, yo? Personally, I think it's too cretinous a move to comment on in much detail. I don't want to get political. Just try and remember this reallocation of resources next time a large bomb goes off, and hope that that doesn't happen soon. Aloha You've Escaped is the name of the video, Aloha You've Escaped is the name of the song, and Aloha You've Escaped is what you might be saying to your own semen once you've sat through it. Aloha You've Escaped is an amateur music video for a pretty standard song that I wouldn't have listened to had it not been for a video that featured NPR hot women in their underwear dancing around. Now, when I say dancing around, I don't want anyone to get the wrong impression and go and see this and be disappointed. They're not dancing, you know, in the proper way, lap, pole, table. They're dancing in a kind of contemporary way, which involves longing, serious looks to the camera, and that thing where you take both your arms from one side of your head to the other in a kind of, look at me, I'm a willow tree, sort of a thing. However, these women are half naked, they're cute, and if you don't mind short hair, yeah, you know, you can enjoy this video the way that MTV doesn't want you to enjoy the videos, but secretly it does. Download it if you've ever had a thing about watching girls who are too shy to know that they're really hot singing into a hairbrush. Wow, I'm actually turning myself on now, so I better stop. So that was my pick of the past week at Fleshbot. Check it out every day for more of the same. I do, and you should too. You know it makes sense.
It's his world. Sometimes brutal, but always real. Where some get by with bullets, and some make it with their brains.
And the con never ends as long as there's a sucker.
Pornography reviews.
You better talk before I put my number one foot down your number one mouth.
Welcome to Pornography Reviews. Welcome to Pornography Reviews. It's time for Pornography Reviews. There was a man. He reviewed things on Pornography. It was called Pornography Reviews. I'll edit one of those out. I don't know which one I'm going to use. I mean, don't be silly. I'm not going to forget to edit one of those out. That would be crazy. Anyway, welcome to Pornography Reviews. This week, I'm going to take a look at the Bert and Nina Sex Show, which, for anyone who has trouble understanding English, is a podcast about sex, hosted by Bert and Nina. Their introduction sounds like this.
Hi, I'm Bert.
Hi, I'm Nina.
This is the Bert and Nina Sex Show. Oh, yeah.
Now, the Bert and Nina Sex Show has been online since March, and according to their charmingly retarded website, Pink Text on Peach, anyone? Anyone? Is hosted by Bert Reynolds and Nina Hagen. For anyone who's always suspected these two are fucking, here's all the proof you need. Like this show, they mix sex news with interviews and opinion. Unlike this show, they've been doing it a while and have a pleasant female co-host. Actually, I wouldn't mind a pleasant female co-host, and if you have any interest in being on this show, you're female and you're pleasant, send me an email, pornography@gmail.com. or samsugar@gmail.com. You can find both of those on the pornography.com website. Isn't that clever? Anyway, back to the review. I actually did have, very briefly, a female co-host. I should make this clear. But she was the corpse of an ex of mine who I just couldn't let go of. So I kept her propped up in a chair beside me. And she had such pretty, pretty hair. Such pretty, pretty hair. But my co-host, you know, didn't say much, so I had to get rid of her. Nina, however, from the Bert and Nina Sex Show, and my God, that was a great segue, says stuff like this.
Guys. Masturbation. I had actually heard this some time ago. Masturbation decreases your chances of getting prostate cancer by a lot. I forgot the number, but it was a pretty nice percentage. Anyhow, they're saying that actual intercourse may not be as effective when you put in the risk for contracting some sort of STD. When you don't put the risk of contracting an STD into consideration. Yeah, when that is not a, like, let's say, for instance, that you're in a monogamous relationship, you're both fine, neither one of you has an STD. In those instances, the effectiveness of ejaculation could be just as high as masturbation.
Right.
When you put in the risk for contracting an STD, like, let's say that then you're not in a monogamous relationship and you have a lot of different partners and you're not being safe, then your risks of contracting an STD outweigh
the benefits of ejaculation.
So in those instances, it is a lot safer and a lot more effective and more beneficial to a man to masturbate. But let's say that you're in a relationship with someone and you're both okay. And on top of that, you're also masturbating for whenever you're not able to do it. Well, there go your chances, boys. And you're probably even less likely to develop prostate cancer when you become older. So, guys, if your girlfriends get upset because from time to time you might masturbate, and, you know, some girls do have issues with that, just tell them it's all for your health. You're doing it for your health so that they won't get too hurt that you're not waiting for them. Well, it's true, right? You can go to BBC. There's a report on it there. And print it out or show them and say, hey, look, doctors are saying it's okay. It's for my health. And then that way you could also excuse your reason for having Playboy and whatever other girly magazines you might have around. You got to have something to help you masturbate. When your girlfriend or wife isn't around.
What I like most about Bert and Nina's sex show is the interviews and live stuff they do. They actually get out of the studio, which a lot of pornographers or podcasters don't do. I haven't done myself, but that's because I'm special. I will do, I promise. But, you know, they get out into the street, they talk to people, they interview people, and they have an interesting take on things. Here's a clip of Nina talking to a street preacher who was standing outside the Erotica LA show this summer. Now, if I'd been in this situation, I would have just tried to find ways of winding the guy up, ended up in a fight, probably had to get bailed out, and then, you know, had to shut down all my other business operations because it's really hard to survive today with any kind of criminal record. She, however, charmed him, and you learn something about him, and it's good. It sounded like this.
Hi, so what made you feel the need to be here today? What in you?
Well, I'm out obeying what the Bible says and going into all the world and preach the gospel to every man, woman, child, living creature on the face of the planet.
And do you think that, how are people reacting towards your message today here, or how have they been reacting to you all day today?
Most are pretty apathetic. They don't care. You know, they just walk in there. Hey, I'm going to look at pornography and do my thing, and don't care about their eternal destination at all. But, you know, you get a few that seriously inquire, and then you get the mockers who just want to get out of here and make fun. And, you know, it's all par for the course. So, you know, I mean, I've been street preaching for several years, and we go from event to event, anywhere there's a lot of people, and bring the message of the good news of the gospel to the lost and dying.
Will you be at the Gay Pride Parade tomorrow afternoon?
Yes, there will be probably 10 or 15 street preachers out there tomorrow to preach to the Gay Pride folks. Yeah.
But in overall, I mean, do you really feel that by doing what you do, you have people who will maybe convert or who will somehow listen to the gospel and what you have to say? Or do you think that for the most part it's just people simply mocking you? Or, I mean, do you think that something really productive, in fact, does come out of your preaching out here?
Well, the Bible says that through the foolishness of preaching, God spreads the gospel, spreads his word. And, coming out here or any big event where people who are lost and are on their way to hell anyway, it's just what we do, and I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. So, I mean, I understand, and in no way am I trying to antagonize you or come down on you, but my question is, just the way that you feel, and it is your right to be out here and preaching, do you not think that that somehow imposes on these people when they're going in, they're doing the same thing that you're doing out here?
No, I don't think so. It's a free country, and no, they probably wouldn't come into where we worship and do their thing. But hey, I'm an equal opportunity preacher, and I'll go stand at a church that's not doing what they're supposed to and preach to them when they come out too. So I uphold the freedoms of this country through our military. I am active duty military, and I get to do this part-time and on the weekends and stuff. And it's not only my religious freedom, but it's my constitutional right. And just like it's theirs to go in there, I'm sure.
Okay.
So, you know, fair is fair, and we're going to, go and use our rights until they get the
message.
Well, unfortunately, they'll probably never, ever get the full message. And what we statistically, we could reach every person here in America, and you would reach less than 5% of the world's population.
Right.
So we have preachers that go out worldwide as well. Some preaching in Scotland, England, places like that. And,
okay, well, thank you so much for talking with us.
Sure.
Okay, we appreciate it.
All right, no problem.
Have a good day.
All right, thanks.
Bye.
Overall, Bert and Nina is a fun listen. It's certainly more strokeable than Bert and Ernie, and you should trust me on that because I tried it, and when they started singing the counting songs, my erection just went doooh. They put new shows out about once a week, sometimes more, and you can find links to their website at podnography.com. If I had some kind of approval or rating system, I would give it some kind of approval or rating. As it is, I'm just going to say it's worth checking out. Last week, the interview we did with Nikki Fritz scaled the heights of glamour. She's someone who you see on television, she's someone whose name you might be familiar with, she has a website that predates AOL offering internet access. This week, I thought we should change the pace and give you someone equally hot, but a little younger, a little less well-known, and a lot more accessible. Someone, in fact, who you can phone after this podcast and have kinky, no-limits phone sex with for $1.69 a minute. Well, I found her. She's called Katie. Last week, the interview we did with Nikki Fritz scaled the heights of glamour. She's someone who you see on television. She's someone whose name you might be familiar with. She has a website that predates AOL offering internet access. This week, I thought we should change the pace and give you someone equally hot, but a little younger, a little less well-known, and a lot more accessible. Someone, in fact, who you can phone after this podcast and have kinky, no-limits phone sex with for $1.69 a minute. Well, I found her. She's called Katie. She reads my blog. She's submissive. She's a switch. She's an ex-Catholic schoolgirl, and she pays her rent via a phone sex side gig. Oh yeah, she also posts nude pictures of herself to her blog, Talking Dirty. Anyway, this is what happened when I called her. She's lovely, and if you do call her after this, then let her know that I sent you.
Hello, Katie.
Hi, Sam.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me.
Oh, thank you for taking the time to interview me. I'm really psyched about this.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Well, you have a pretty unusual blog. At least it's unusual in my experience, in that I haven't seen many people who are involved in phone sex using blogs to promote what they do. How did that start for you?
Actually, I've been on with other companies before that have suggested that I use blogs to promote my characters. But usually, what they would do as far as the blog went was have you put up a bunch of fake sexy stories that supposedly happened within your character's day, and I just thought that there might be a better way to go about doing that, so I thought I'd give it a try.
And how is it working for you?
Well, I'm really enjoying it. I mean, it gives me something to do between calls, and it keeps me occupied and out of trouble.
It doesn't get you into trouble.
Actually, yeah, it does. I have some people that I haven't necessarily wanted to find out about what I was doing that have come across it, but there's been an upside to it, too. I had some friends that have come across my blog that I didn't really know how to tell about my new job, and they've been a lot cooler about it than I thought they would be.
Well, I must admit, your blog does make it seem, you seem in control and doing what you want to do. But it's very bold. I mean, you have photographs of yourself. You give a name, and it's fairly targeted. I mean, aren't you concerned that someone in your hometown is gonna start stalking you?
Well, I was concerned about that at first, but the simple truth of the matter is, I had stalkers long before I put dirty pictures of myself up on the internet. So it's something that can happen anyway. I figure I might as well make money and do what I want to do and enjoy myself if I'm going to have it anyway, you know?
I'm with you. That makes perfect sense. But you're a college student. Mm-hmm. What are you studying, if you don't mind me asking?
Actually, I'm a programming major, believe it or not.
So you are the mythical hot geek, which is just perfect, I guess.
Thank you very much. See, actually, the sad thing is, it was my geekiness and playing D&D that really taught me how to do phone sex. Taught me how to get into character.
You learned phone sex playing Dungeons & Dragons.
Oh, yeah. See, they never tell you that. They just tell you it's going to lead to Satanism, but no, at least to phone sex.
Wow. So you must have a number of stereotypically fat and sweaty male friends who are secretly in love with you, right?
Oh, yes. And, of course, I've got a bunch of stereotypically geeky friends that I'm secretly in love with, and please don't tell them. They'll tell me.
Well, you know, this is just between you and me. It's not as if I'm going to broadcast this phone conversation on the internet or anything.
Oh, no, nothing like that.
You have nothing to worry about. So how did you get... I mean, you say it taught you how to do phone sex, and I think most people have probably had a sexy conversation on the phone at one time or another, especially if you're, you know, overdue on a bill and you're trying to get a break on the on your telephone. But
I'm gonna have to try that now.
I'm sure that would work for you. I'm sure that would work for you. But how did you get into commercial phone sex?
Well, I had a friend of mine who was a stripper, and she and I would often talk about, you know, different business opportunities within the sex industry. And one of my geeky male friends suggested that I become a stripper, but in person, I'm very clumsy. In the naked pictures, if anybody buys them, you can see that my legs are covered in bruises because I'm always falling down the stairs and things. So I'm terrified of getting up on a stage in platforms and heels. That would not be a good thing. Poke somebody's eye out, probably mine. And he's actually mentioned to me that I had a voice for phone sex. And about a week after he said this to me, my mother's lesbian friend called me and told me that I had a phone sex voice.
You are...
And it just seemed like it was fate at that point.
You are fairly breathy. Is the voice that you're talking to me in now, is this your character voice, or is this actually how you sound when you're on the phone?
Well, it's not really very different. I mean, I raised it a little bit because I am playing a quote-unquote young character, which isn't really too much of a character. It's pretty much based on me. But actually, the reason I sound so breathy is because I'm pacing around my room right now because I am a little bit nervous.
You can sit down.
I'll sit down and take some tranquilizers.
Yeah, you can sit down. Have a drink. Just relax, believe me. I probably shouldn't say this, but I am, well, I know I'm going to regret saying this, but you know, I've been out of bed for a couple of hours. I am not properly dressed, and how not properly dressed you want to imagine I am is entirely up to you. But you know, I'm very relaxed indeed. I'm looking out over Philadelphia, and I am sat at the kitchen table, thinking I should really have taken a shower before I started. You know.
Well, see, now we're in more familiar territory for me.
Well, of course, actually, and I'll have to work very hard not to allow this conversation to devolve to that level, or evolve to that level.
I was going to say.
Yeah. See now I'm blushing. You've done well, and that's quite a task with me. So you worked in other aspects of the sex industry, or only the phone sex angle?
Phone sex is the first one that I've done professionally, aside from the pictures, but that was actually kind of a pro-amateur thing that I did on a dare.
So you're...
I did that actually a little while before getting into phone sex.
And now obviously you're involved in phone sex, which is a very direct way of working in the sex industry. I mean, you mentioned stripping, and I know a number of people who work in the sex industry, and it's interesting to know how many models I know who would pose very explicitly for magazines or video, but would never work as a stripper because they say it's too intimate, because they don't actually want to work, you know, close to someone. Obviously, you're separated by a phone, but, you know, you're on a pretty intimate level with these people. Would you consider working in other aspects of the sex industry, or is phone sex the kind of perfect niche for you?
Well, actually, the intimacy of it was one of the things that drew me. I kind of like that aspect of getting into the heads of total strangers, getting into their fantasies and seeing that part of themselves that they don't even necessarily share with people that they've known for years. But, I mean, I do think about getting into other aspects of the sex industry on pretty much a daily basis. But, I mean, so far, I'm really happy with where I am right now, and this is working out perfectly for me, so I'm going to just go with this and see where it heads.
which other aspects of the sex industry are appealing to you?
Well, one of the things that I'm working on right now is getting some erotic stories published.
Mm-hmm.
It's always been sort of a hobby of mine.
And I guess you spend most of your time storytelling anyway.
Yes, it's actually part of the problem is that that's been keeping me from logging on and working lately.
How much time do you spend working on the phone calls? God, I don't even know what the phrase is. Working the phones. How many hours a day do you spend on phone sex?
I'm a full-time college student right now, so not as many as I would necessarily like to. It's usually I'm working just part-time, so 20 hours or less a week, so it doesn't come out to more than a couple hours a day.
Oh, wow. And if you don't mind me asking, how much money how lucrative is phone sex for you?
Well, I make $1.04 a minute, so that gives you some idea. But the thing with phone sex is while your per minute rate is high, it's not necessarily you're going to be talking for every minute of the hour that you're logged in.
Okay.
There are high times and there are low times, and it sort of balances out in between.
And you say you get $1 a minute. How much is the person who's talking to you paying?
Well, since I go through Nightfert, they take a cut out of the price that the caller gets charged to pay for their overhead and everything, so that I don't have to deal with billing and getting a merchant account. I charge $1.69 a minute, but the industry average is closer to $1.99.
So you're a bargain.
Oh, yes. I'm a cheap whore.
You know, there are so many people who are unzipping right now that you've said that. So,
this is free advertising.
This all free advertising, believe me. And the other thing that if people haven't gone to your blog yet, which is at http://talkingdirty.blogspot.com, and there will be a link to that in the show notes at podnography.com, of course, is that you present what I can only call as kind of an archetypal male fantasy, which is you are you appear to be of fairly exotic ethnicity. And you claim to be on your blog submissive and a former Catholic schoolgirl, which is just a kind of car crash of kind of submissive sexual fantasies for a lot of guys. You know, a lot of people think that Asian women are submissive. A lot of people think that Catholic schoolgirls are crazy sluts. You also mentioned being a pagan. You know, I mean, you've kind of melded every submissive, wild, kinky sexual fantasy that most people have. How much of that is true and how much of that is for presentation's sake?
Well, it's all true, but I do play up certain things more than I necessarily would if somebody knew me in person. Personally, I think it's a little bit funny that you describe it as everyone's fantasy. A lot of it, I just think, makes me a freak.
Well,
I'm not really that exotic either. I'm just Irish and Italian. Although I'm proud that you said that. Thank you very much. I feel special now.
You should feel special, you know. And I don't mean special in that kind of short bus way. I mean special in a good way. Irish and Italian, I actually thought you seemed, I thought there was a touch of something kind of South Asian, but, you know, obviously I've got no clue. And frankly, as I was looking mainly at your stomach and breasts, it was very hard for me to actually, you know, tell anything from the neck upwards. But so you say that this is how you've always been, or have you found that you've become kinkier since you've started talking to guys about their fantasies?
Well, like Mackenzie, who you interviewed last time, I was always the girl who my friends would come to for the sexual advice, even though I wasn't actually having sex yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely am putting my dirty mind more into practice now. My boyfriends are taking advantage of that, and they're enjoying every minute of it.
Your boyfriends? How many boyfriends do you have?
I have two right now.
You
and
say
I'm a little bit sad now because I don't have any girlfriends right now. That's probably another big fantasy right there. Yes, I am bisexual.
It seems pretty ubiquitous, you know. I mean, in the past few years, bisexuality has gone from being kind of a something on the fringes to being, you know, almost every woman I know under the age of 30 has had a bisexual experience that she's really happy to discuss over a drink.
I need to meet some of your friends.
You know, it's one of the advantages of working in the jizz biz. I think I probably have a skewed group of people around me.
Yeah, it does seem like there are more bisexuals in this industry than any other except maybe tech.
Yeah, although I think the thing that caps it is if you work in the adult industry. I've been to birthday parties. I've had birthday parties where every single woman at the table I've seen naked. I remember thinking, that's really interesting. You know, and none of the women at the table I'd been involved in a relationship with, and half of them were there with boyfriends and husbands. And it's really odd when you're shaking hands with a guy and you're thinking, yeah, your wife's got a really great body. But
I've had those thoughts before.
Yeah, you know, I have them all, you know, I still have them. Quite sad, really. But, so you are just this kind of wild sexual machine who has found their niche in phone sex. A lot of people will assume that you've had some kind of difficulties in your childhood, that you've suffered forms of abuse. Does any of that apply to you?
In one way, it does. When people think, you know, difficulties in your childhood and sexual abuse is the only path that leads to the sex industry, I have to say in my case that wasn't true. And in my experience, a lot of the women I know in phone sex aren't in phone sex because of past sexual abuse. It's because they didn't get the sluttiness out of their system in high school. So there are a lot of people who were more introverted and shy that a while later just start looking at phone sex as a way to do what they never had a chance to do when they were younger.
But when you say that's interesting, because you said that you claimed, you know, on your blog it says that you're a Catholic schoolgirl. Were you a Catholic schoolgirl?
Yes, I was. I'm from Boston originally, and in Boston, the public schools, if you go there, you're going to get beat up. So pretty much everybody sends their kids to Catholic school, and of course, I'm Irish and Italian, so I was from a Catholic family.
Uh-huh. So in that way, I guess that you do perfectly fit the kind of repressed background. Was sex something that was frowned on when you were younger?
Well, there was definitely a message of good girls don't, and I mean, that's pretty much common to a lot of people's backgrounds. It's only very recently that we're starting to reverse that double standard even a little bit.
But some people are reversing it way faster than others, and thank God they're on the internet. So you spend an awful lot of time talking to guys, and you present yourself as a submissive. You must encounter some fairly dark stuff, I'm guessing.
Oh, yes. And actually, the reason that I decided to market myself as a submissive is because, in reality, I'm a switch, which I have mentioned on my blog, but I understand it gets a little bit buried. And I have a lot of those dark fantasies myself. It doesn't bother me when, you know, a person mentions wanting to tie me up and torture my breasts, because I have those thoughts myself of tying other people up and torturing them until they scream and moan and rise. So it's not something that bothers me, because I know that I also have those fantasies that I wouldn't necessarily want to act out unless the other person was fully into it.
What would cause you to hang up on a call?
If they were talking about something that would be illegal to do in reality, and they weren't talking about a fantasy about it, they were talking about really doing it. For example, because of the age I portray on the phone, the age that I am, the age that I sound, I get a lot of calls from guys who want daddy's little girl.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this isn't a problem for me. I understand that with most of these guys, it's 100% fantasy, but every now and then you're going to get a guy that starts trying to talk about doing things for real, having done things for real. And when I get a call like that, the first thing I do is I give him a warning. I tell him I'm perfectly happy to talk about doing things in fantasy, but we need to be very clear that it is fantasy. And if he keeps on pushing, well, then I'm going to end the call in whatever way that I can, whether it be by finishing it up, taking it in a different direction, or trying to get him to hang up on me, and then I report him to Knife Work, because that's not something that I want on my conscience personally.
Yeah. It's very, very interesting to think how much of the darker stuff you're kind of working as a safety valve for, and how much guys might be kind of exploring things that they really have no interest in other than as a kind of wild fantasy. It's an interesting area. But what do you find is the most common fantasy for guys to call you with?
Well, it's really hard to give me a definitive answer with that, because I have consciously chosen to market myself towards certain fantasies, so obviously my numbers are going to skew in that direction. I find that I have, you know, trends from one week to the next. You know, one week I'll be getting all daddy's little girl calls. One week it's all Catholic schoolgirl babysitters and so on and so forth. But the trend lately is that I've been getting a lot of guys with exhibitionistic fantasies, which is one that I have myself, but it's really hard to do on the phone. They're always, you know, they're of course dumb guys, so they want to order me to go find a total stranger and screw them. And I tell them I'm on a cordless, I can't go very far to find anybody, and I'm not going to get thrown out of my building, so I'm sorry, but tough luck. And then they usually get pissed off at me and yell at me.
That's really, I mean, that's interesting to me on two levels. One, that their lack of imagination, but secondly, are you really that honest? I mean, because I would imagine if you're, you know, obviously you're getting paid $1 a minute to talk to a guy, and he says, I want you to go outside and screw someone, don't you just say, oh, look, here's the mailman, and then, you know, play along?
Well, see, I always try that first, but usually what I found with those guys is if they aren't saying, I want to pretend, if they say, I want you to really go and find somebody, the next question thing that they will ask is, I want to hear him. Can you put him on the phone? Or why aren't I hearing him in the background?
Have you considered charging kind of $8 a minute and saying anything, I'll do anything you want. And then what you should do is you should have one of your boyfriends in a cupboard, and he can just come out and role play with you.
Actually, I have tried doing that. I didn't raise my rates to $8 a minute, but I did try that with one of my regular guys that's always calling, wanting me to go screw my neighbors. I had him call while my boyfriend was over. I told him that my boyfriend was over. And he was, you know, ordering my boyfriend to spank my pussy and all that stuff. And I was really getting into that, of course. I am a switch. But, of course, right when I'm sitting there having my clit stained, getting soaking wet, starting to moan and writhe around and everything, guy on the phone orders me to send him some pictures. I explain to him I don't have a camera. He says, well, I want you to go out and drive right now and buy a high-end digital camera because I want to see those pictures. And so I said, well, I would really love to do that, sir. I would really love for you to see how I look right now, but I don't have that kind of money. So then he starts screaming in my ear about how I must make all kinds of insane money. And he hung up.
Wow.
And I have to say, I very, very rarely get hang-ups. And I know he's going to call me back again anyway, because he's done this to me before. But I just sort of, I wonder what he's expecting, really.
Don't guys hang up as soon as they come?
Well, yes, but it's a little different when they're hanging up because they're done, as opposed to just hanging up and you have no idea why. But, well, that's one of the top complaints of, you know, phone sex girls, is that the guys hang up as soon as they come. I find that that's mostly, you know, guys that are a little bit nervous, and most of my guys do say thank you right after, which is nice. You know, it's nice to know that they're going because they're satisfied and that they've enjoyed themselves, rather than just they might have gotten disconnected.
That's interesting. It's interesting. Virtual cuddle time on the phone.
Oh, no, you really do get that. It's actually hilarious. Sometimes we can role play it out. I'm not kidding. I don't get it very often. Most of the guys, instead of, you know, virtual cuddle time, they'll want to chit-chat afterwards, just like, you know,
wow,
the stereotypical woman. They'll sit there and, you know, talk about bondage or talk about their day or whatever. It's fun.
Do you ever have a guy who just falls immediately to sleep and you just hear snoring for the next 20 minutes while he pays $1 a minute for it?
Thankfully, no. I don't know quite what I would do if that happened. I mean, I would probably stay on the line until I heard confirmed snoring and was sure that he wasn't joking. I wouldn't want him to, be charged for the snoring time, as amusing as that is.
It might be a perfect customer, just, 30 minutes of snoring out of back a minute.
Oh, I'm sure that there's probably somebody who gets off on the idea of, paying for me to hear them snoring.
So, tell me, as I'm a very innocent young man. This is very difficult for me. Even this conversation right now, I'm going to have to spend a lot of time praying after this.
Oh, yes. Isn't that time in the confessional?
Yeah. Actually, I can't walk into a church because if I do so, I'm scared I'm just going to immediately burst into flames. But yeah, me too. So, but say for the guys out there and the ladies out there who've never experienced a commercial phone sex experience, if a guy was to call you, if I was to call you on your number, how does this break down? I mean, say that I'm a nervous newbie. What happens?
Well, once everything on the billing end is taken care of and you ring through to me, I'll usually say hello and ask you how you are and what's on your mind. A lot of guys will tell me where they're from and, what their first name is. I don't always ask because I understand that for some guys that can feel a little bit intrusive, even though I'll never know if they lie to me or not.
Uh-huh.
And if they're up for small talk, well, we'll have a little small talk, talk about how they are, talk about what their fantasies are, whatever's on their mind that day. And if they just want to jump right into it, that's fine, too. I'm not one of those girls that'll try to extend everything because I found that if you try to draw a guy out past his comfort zone, he knows it and he's not going to call back. I'd rather have a few short calls from a guy than one long one where he's just never going to call back again.
Mm-hmm. And are guys explicit about the fact that they're assuming that 99.9% of these guys are masturbating when they're talking to you.
But there's definitely a 0.1% that isn't, and yes, I get those guys too.
And can you tell from the change in the guy's voice that he's playing with himself?
Usually, yes, and I enjoy hearing it. It's, sort of like feedback to me. But sometimes I really can't tell. Some of these guys are so quiet that I can't tell when they're finished. I have to rely on them to tell me. That can get a little awkward when, I'm still going on and they're like, oh, I'm done. Oh, sorry.
The old stealth wank. It's it's a skill that some men have honed. There are pages on it on the internet.
So, oh, sure.
absolutely. So when you've got a guy on the phone, you're talking to him, you're talking dirty. I guess talking dirty, God, that sounds so puerile. You're talking sexually to him about his deepest fantasies, and I assume you're avoiding all topics that are Dungeons and Dragons related. What do you do? Do you pace? Do you file your nails? Do you, sit in a chair?
I'm not a nail filer. Definitely not a nail filer. Sometimes I pace. I usually wind up taking my pants off. Now, I'm not even totally sure why I do this. I think it's just habit at this point. But I take my pants off and I just spend the entire call sitting in my panties unless they request otherwise and I'm up for playing along. I don't like to multitask when I'm on the phone because, I have noticed that it does distract from my focus. And some of these guys, they have to speak very, very softly because their wife's in the next room. So
that's
I try to be understanding and listening rather than asking them to speak up, wake her up.
You've got guys calling from home when their wife's in the next room, assuming, obviously, that their wife is disapproving in these circumstances. Do you get guys calling from work?
I'm pretty sure that I have, actually. I don't usually log on during the day, but when I have, the calls were always much, much shorter and usually quieter and usually occurred during typical lunch break hours. So I have my suspicions, and those were all panty-wearing guys, so that particular stereotype is true, I believe.
Guys going to the office in women's underwear?
Oh, yes, and guys that, fantasize about being made to wear women's underwear and domination and that sort of thing. Not my specialty, but I get the odd call for it.
Yeah, that's one that I've never particularly got myself, but and it's not the kind of thing that your buddies tell you even when they're drunk. I like to slip into my wife's underwear. You know, although I did go on a bachelor party where we all had to dress up as fairies. So I can't say I haven't cross-dressed in public before. I have. And for anyone who actually for anyone who knows what I look like, they'll be shocked at how frightening that could be. The interesting thing was 20 of us all dressed up as fairies, literally. We were in a really tough town. There were 20 mm-hmm. guys, all pretty big guys, wearing pink fishnet stockings, tutus, and it was outrageous how we were dressed. People went absolutely nuts. It was the closest I've ever got to feeling as if I was in a boy band. Every bar we went into, every club we went into, people just loved it. And the women in particular, women went mad. The women were so, you know, I want to dance with you, I want to buy you a drink, what's your name? It was, I tell you, it was far more effective than a canali suit or a really, you know, smart pair of shoes. If you want to score the chicks, cross-dress guys.
I have to definitely second that. I mean, first off, you know, there's the old line, it takes a brave man to wear pink, which, of course, you guys were accomplishing. Secondly, there really is something about, you know, cross-dressing and gender bending that is turned on for a lot of women, myself included. I'm always trying to get my boyfriends to wear panties and skirts and things.
But
just because. It's, you know, child of the 80s.
And your boyfriends and girlfriends are mostly dominant guys or submissive guys, or?
Actually, I have a tendency to date really perverted villain people and other switches.
And what do you call really perverted?
Really perverted when they're as horny as I am, and any word that you say to them in any given sentence is going to have a dirty meaning to them.
That sounds quite Dungeons and Dragons. That's fairly complicated. I can imagine kind of some code book with you cross-referencing dirty words in it. It might get very confusing. I hope you can...
Actually, that was just my hobby when I was 12. I guess you can say that I was sort of suited to this job.
Well, there are a lot of people who flower in interesting ways. And I think the game is called Dungeons and Dragons. There aren't any dragons in reality, but there are dungeons. So if you're curious about exploring the game, it's going to lead you to a goth club or a BDSM, you know, weekend somewhere, as surely as night follows day.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And for all the parents out there that are worried that playing Dungeons and Dragons will mean that their son will never get laid, I just have to make one true confession, which is during my first Dungeons and Dragons game, I gave the DM a lap dance. My female best friend and I teamed up, and we gave him a lap dance.
What part of the Dungeons & Dragons universe were you in? Were you in Ye Olde Lap Dancing Club, or as Dungeon Master, did you find...
Oh, no, that was totally out of character. We were just being silly.
Ah, because... See,
my character was a half-elven druid. I don't think she was going to be giving anyone any lap dances.
You know, I don't even know what a half-elven druid looks like. But I'll tell you, but if a man with a 58-sided dice is irresistible, you know, that's a couple of cheap bits of plastic. I don't mind investing in some, just putting them on the coffee table whenever I'm out in public, in case I see some hot D&D.
Oh, yeah, definitely a turn on.
I'm learning so much here. The other question that I'm sure is on people's minds, because you are going to get people who are calling you because they've heard you on this, I think. And,
I'm looking forward to seeing what kind of freaks you turn up for me.
It'll be me mostly, just with different voices on. I'll be saying, you know, ha ha, hey hey, how you doing, Katie? Other incredibly bad accents. But
you should keep your real one because, you know, we all go crazy for those British accents. It's very sexy, and all the PSOs will, we have our own, you know, email groups and message boards, and whenever one of us gets a call with a sexy accent, we all go on about it. I'm not kidding you; it's the truth.
Can I tell you actually? It's my cross to bear because I do, I'll be completely honest. People do comment on my accent quite a lot, and quite a lot of people comment on it in a positive way. But it's tough when people expect you. You know, if someone says you've got a sexy voice, what happens if you don't match your voice? I'd far rather sound like a complete dork and look like Brad Pitt than sound like, you know, Mr. Honey Over Gravel, and then turn up and people go, oh my God, you know, which way is he facing? Or is that something on his face, or is that his face? You know, so it's difficult. Maybe this is why I'm built for podcasting. I should just keep it all audio on the phone.
Yeah, face for radio, that whole thing.
Yeah.
Or you could just suggest that they were blindfold.
That's true. That is true.
Then it could just be a kinky thing rather than a cringy thing.
Yeah, you know?
Although I'm sure that you're very sexy.
You're full of ideas. Well, you're only saying that because you're only saying that because you have to. But
I'm just saying that because you have a sexy voice, and that's all I have to go on at the moment.
Well, I appreciate that a great deal. I appreciate that a great deal.
Well, thank
you're gonna
you.
Get me. You're gonna get me in so much trouble. It's not even funny. I get calls. People say, "God, Sam, I was just surfing porn, and I came across you, and I didn't really know that you were involved to this level." But have you ever dated a guy that met on the phone?
Oh no, I have to say that's something that I made it a personal rule never to do, just because you get a lot of unrealistic expectations that way. I mean, I've dated people off the internet, I've dated people that I've met in all kinds of weird situations, but I don't think that I could date somebody whose first interaction with me was, "I want you to lick my dirty cum-covered cock." That's just a personal line. I don't think I could do that.
No, because
I'd like to know their regular personnel a little bit first.
Do you ever have anyone calling you who just wants to be friends?
Yes, I do, and I have a lot of guys that want me to be their in-person slave, and it gets a little awkward sometimes when you have these guys that are really nice guys, and you know that if you had met them in person first, things might have been different, but that as it is, nothing's going to happen, and you know, I don't want to lead them on or anything.
You know what, and you're a young woman, you're a very attractive woman, you...
Well, thank you.
Well, I'm sure this is something you hear all the time, but you know, this is the truth, and the idea that a guy could phone you and pick you up who wouldn't be able to pick you up in person is crazy to me, but... You know, maybe this is why I'm so wise and everyone else looks to me to got lives. But, no, I mean, it doesn't, I just can't see it as being a very realistic expectation. But I'm sure it's a lovely fantasy. And, you know, guys having the opportunity to talk to a woman like you in a sexual way who wouldn't be able to talk to a woman who, you know, is a patch on you or any woman at all. I mean, it must be a huge deal. I think you provide a very valid and useful service for humanity.
Thank you. I actually feel that way, too. I mean, some of these guys, I had a guy once that was about 60 years old, and he told me that he loved his wife very, very much, but that, I mean, just the thrill in his voice, I mean, he sounded absolutely odd when I told him that I didn't think that his anal sex fantasy was disgusting. I mean, it was like... You know how people sound on those, you know, stereotypical televangelist ads when they've seen Jesus?
Uh-huh.
That was what he sounded like, and it was just sort of heartbreaking. But, you know, at the same time, I kind of feel for his wife, who's, you know, probably around the same age and probably not wanting to get it up the poop chute.
Wow.
But I'm glad that I could put a smile on the guy's face, you know?
I think...
Make him feel a little more normal.
Yeah. I mean, it's a pity that you're going to leave us with and leave me with an image of geriatric buggering each other, because until then it was deeply sexy. I was hoping everyone was listening, everyone's going to finish. I was going to kind of drop in some little warning saying you're at the 5-minute mark now. You've got 5 minutes to continue to enjoy Katie's voice before she goes. And it's back to me. And then you threw in old people buggering each other.
See, that's the real reason I do this job. Is because I can't get it in real life. I can't keep it alive.
Wow. Although, you know what? If you were old, and you know, say you were 60 or so, and you had an anal sex fantasy, you might get lucky, because if your partner ends up having a colostomy, you might just be able to do it with bag, and then they wouldn't even know. Or is that too gross for everybody?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I have read articles online, you know, about how colostomies affect the sex act and ways to work around it, although I'm sure that's way too much information for everybody.
Wow. Yeah, that is. Those... That's well, you know what? You never have to leave the house for lubricant because you know, you can just open the zipper and dip in and use what you need.
Well, there you go.
Okay, no, it's pretty dark. It's pretty dark. I should stop before I get myself into real trouble. But it's been fabulous talking to you.
Thank you. I really enjoyed talking to you too.
People can go to podnography.com and see the link to your blog and read up on your sexploits and contact you. And if you do that, say Podnography sent you, unless you're a weird freak, in which case you should just pretend that you have no connection to this podcast.
Oh, but I love the weird freaks. They're my favorite.
Okay, well, then you have to tell me. Maybe you can check in. Actually, that would be... I won't tell you to do that. It will be entirely anonymous, but maybe I'll check in with you in a couple of weeks and you can tell me exactly what the listeners have been asking for. That would be fun.
That would be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Katie.
Thank you.
Have a great day and good luck with the blogging.
Well, thank you. You too.
So that's it for Podnography Show 5, but before I go, I want to tell you about something. About a month ago, I set up a wiki called sugarhive.org. A wiki is a website which anyone can edit. If you've ever used Wikipedia, that's the most famous wiki. If you've not used Wikipedia, you don't know what I'm talking about. But what you should be imagining is a website that you can go to, read, use just like any normal website. But if you see something on it that you disagree with or that is incorrect, you can actually click a button that says edit and add to or delete something or even create new pages. It's a cool concept because thousands of people can build something together that they wouldn't be able to build individually. I sound like a primary school teacher and I'm talking about pornography, that's worrying. Anyway, Sugarhive is designed to be a wiki aimed at sex. Why do we need a wiki aimed at sex, do you ask? Well, although Wikipedia covers a lot of sexual material, and there is one other wiki online which claims to deal with sex, but does it from a kind of juvenile perspective and also deals with drugs and a lot of other kind of irrelevant stuff to me, I thought there should be one place where not only can you find out about going to strip clubs and what's going on in clubs in Copenhagen, but you can also find out about rope bondage, you can also find out about sexual technique, you can also find out about STDs, and basically works as a repository for sexual information of any kind online. Now, by building this, we're going to create something unique. And in the 30 or so days since it launched, it's actually a little under a month, over 1,000 pages have been added to Sugarhive, which is really impressive. However, we need two things. We need more people to read Sugarhive, and we need more people to contribute, because it's really only going to be when it gets to about 1,000 or so full-length articles that I think there's going to be real value there that's going to keep people coming back. The benefit of going to Sugarhive now is not only that you're going to have a chance to make a contribution to something that's going to be great, but you're actually going to have a chance to mold things and shape things. The other thing that makes Sugarhive a little different to Wikipedia, if you're familiar with it, is that I don't see it as something that's entirely non-commercial. If you have a website, you can go to Sugarhive and put up a page about your sex website. If you're like Katie and you're a phone sex worker, you can go and put a page in the Red Pages, which is the directory section of Sugarhive, explaining who you are, how you can be contacted, and what you can do. I want Sugarhive to be for anyone who's interested in sex and wants to get information about anything sexual. That includes commercial ventures. So go to sugarhive.org, check it out, add something, read something, don't be bad, otherwise I'll come back and I'll deal with you personally. And let's make this thing great. Anyway, thanks for listening to the show. As always, email me at podnography@gmail.com if you have anything that you want me to know about. And if you add anything to Sugarhive that you think is worth noting, email me there too, because from now on I'm going to start mentioning a couple of things that I find at Sugarhive a week in the podcast to draw people's attention and let people know how cool it is. Have fun this week. Amuse yourself, abuse yourself, do whatever you feel you need to do. And if you are a female with a decent voice and a phone and you're interested in getting into the world of pornography, email me, because I'd like someone to talk to. Talking to myself is a little, well, crazy. So if you're interested in being involved, drop me a line.